for people that don't know Leonard Stringfield and should, let's go over some of those things.
Let me tell you who Leonard Stringfield is.
Well, that would be my question, yes.
Leonard Stringfield was a member of the United States Army's intelligence cadre, serving in the Pacific Theater during World War II. He was a soldier, he was a hero, and most other people in ufology do not know this. He was a military man, and he was in the Japanese theater. And he was in an airplane flying to Iwo Jima 3 days after that horrid, horrid, brutal fighting with the flamethrowers and the knives and the bayonets ended, with the death of almost every Japanese soldier on that island and just hideous losses on the Allied side. I don't know how many people remember the Battle of Iwo Jima, but it is one of, if not the bloodiest battles of the Second World War, on a tiny volcanic island impregnated with bunkers that had been dug in over several years by the Japanese, almost impervious to bombs. The only way to fight their way into that island was with bullets and flamethrowers, which meant that, you know, significant numbers of our guys were going to get cut down. And the men that fought at Iwo Jima have been memorialized in Washington, D.C. You probably remember the big memorial that was designed and built by Felix, what's his last name? He's dead now. I met him when he was 93. He lived in Monarch Bay. Felix something or other.
A name you can't remember, I'm surprised.
Felix DeWeldon is the designer of the Iwo Jima Memorial. But Len was an intelligence agent being sent in to try to piece together intelligence from whatever they could recover from the Japanese bunkers. And he was flying in at night. It was very dangerous skies. There were still Zeeks everywhere and Kates. And the C-47 Skytrain, which is the military version of the old Douglas DC-3 Goonie Bird that, you know, just about everybody knows as probably the most recognizable airplane in history, was suddenly buzzed by three silvery, greenish, globular, self-illuminated objects that buzzed it back and forth on numerous occasions, cutting across its flight path and coming up from behind it, causing the ignition to stall and be interfered with in a manner consistent with the way Foo Fighters were being described in the European theater at the same time. Leonard and a number of other individuals in the plane were panicked. The pilots were very much panicked. They thought they were going to have to ditch the plane. And then these three UFOs went away. And this is why Len became obsessed with researching UFO phenomena for the rest of his life. Because his first encounter with UFOs over in the skies over one of the bloodiest battlefields in the history of the United States, it scared him, you know, it scared him witless. And after the Second World War, Len heard about the Kenneth Arnold case, and eventually he caught wind of the Roswell case after the 5th of July of 1947, when the vehicle was actually recovered. And he started piecing together testimonies, and eventually he interviewed three physicians. One was a pathologist, one was a hematologist, and one was a flight surgeon from the United States Army who had been in Roswell and who had made an initial preliminary examination of a cadaver of one of the flight crew members of the Roswell spacecraft. And the physiology of this being, Leonard carefully recorded, and Len also swore an oath that he would never reveal the identities of these three physicians. When he was dying, a number of our esteemed colleagues, and I won't name names, wanted that information desperately. And they managed to upset Len, and they managed to antagonize Del Stringfield a whole lot in their attempt to grab that information before Len died. Len explained to me that when you make a promise to somebody as a detective, as an investigator, or as, you know, a spy, a secret agent, that you never, ever, ever divulge their identity if you've made a promise not to, because they and their families can be adversely affected to such a profound degree that it can literally make it impossible for them to carry on in the future. And Lynn was a man who kept his word to people, whether it was providing information to Kevin Randall or whether it was refusing to provide contact information on the three physicians. The man operated from a personal character of total honesty. Now, you've heard George Norrie call Stanton T. Friedman the father of modern ufology.
Yes, I think so.
Leonard Stringfield was the generation ahead of Stan Friedman. He is the grandfather of modern ufology and one of, not probably not the first, but one of the first research investigators who have a trained background as either a spook or a detective or whatever, to take an honest and detailed look at the phenomena the way it should be analyzed. He knew how to interview witnesses in a non-combative and in a non-confrontational manner so that they wouldn't shut down. He knew how to get people to tell their story four different times, four different ways, from four different perspectives, so that he could find any discrepancies in the versions and clear it up. Or, if necessary, that's a great way to catch a liar. Lynn was an absolute believer in UFO phenomena. He'd seen it himself with his own eyes. Lynn had total respect for a man over in France by the name of Jacques Vallée, and he had total respect for some of the other research that was being conducted, including people like Jim and Carl Lorenzen. He had problems with them, and he had joyful times with them, but at the end of his life, he was very grateful that they had been there, that they'd been around, that they had contributed in their way, because, as he said, no one person can ever solve this mystery. It will take the combined efforts of all of the research investigators working in harmony and not in competition with each other in order to break this mystery.
Well, what would you say would be Len Stringfield's greatest contribution to the study?
His files and the message I just conveyed to you. He had meticulous files. He issued a number of pamphlets and various books with, you know, newsletters with, you know, his cases and his notations. There were books with his cases published.
What were the cases that he would be best known for, where he was the primary investigator on?
A number of cases across the Midwest of the United States, and of course the Roswell case.